Blog Talk Radio.
Show. I'm Lila.
And I'm Leo. And for some reason, my speakerphone is not going up. For some reason, I don't know why.
Just see if we can.
The volume isn't going up on this, which is not a good sign.
No.
Oh, God. Well, anyway, we're going to try to struggle through tonight's show. I hope we have enough juice here. To play this.
Anyway,
I don't know. I'm just concerned. We don't have enough juice on our phone. It's very weird. This
I don't know why the volume's not moving. It was fine. Turn the speaker off and now.
You know what? Let me call in again.
Okay.
Let me try to call in again.
We'll call back in
in just 1 second.
Turn it off.
Back. I don't know if we're going to be heard tonight. I hope so. Want to continue?
It just means that the speaker
is, it doesn't sound like it's on tonight. I'm not sure.
Yes, it is, because we just heard the person speak.
We did hear that, but we don't know if we're being heard.
Oh, I think we are. It just means that the volume coming out isn't loud. That's all that means.
Yeah, we're going to try to have to, try. You know, there's so many problems that come up. We don't even know. But anyway, here's an interesting thing that came up. New Yorker journalist Bin Laden's assassination is one big lie. We're going to talk a little bit about the shutdown in a few minutes, but I think it's important to go into other news areas, you know. In an interview with Guardian Media blog, Pulitzer Prize winner and longtime New Yorker writer, Seymour Hersh excoriated the journalism profession and accused them of failing to investigate the true story behind the big lie of the Osama bin Laden assassination. I always wondered about this, too.
Nothing's been done about that story. It's one big lie. Not one word of it is true, said Hirsch. She was including a chapter about the incident in his forthcoming book on national security. Hirsch said the majority of the information released about the Navy SEAL raid on bin Laden's compound in Abbottabad has been doctored by the United States. The Pakistanis put out a report. Don't get me going on it, Hirsch said. Let's put it this way. It was done with considerable American input. It's a bullshit report. Hirsch, who won a Pulitzer Prize for uncovering the My Lai massacre, also had some tough love for his own industry. It's pathetic. They are more than obsequious. They are afraid to pick on Obama, Hirsch said. I'll tell you the solution. Get rid of 90% of the editors that now exist and start promoting editors that you can't control. I would close down the news bureaus of the networks and let's start all over. Tabula rasa. The majors, NBC, ABCs, they won't like this. Just do something different. Do something to get people mad at you. That's what we're supposed to be doing. He did have high hopes for post-Edward Snowden journalism. Editors love documents, he said. Chicken shit editors who won't touch stories like that. They love documents. So Snowden changed the whole ball game.
That's interesting, huh?
Yeah.
Article. So, you know, he's getting mad. You know, Seymour Hersh is finally getting mad, which is good. You know, people should get mad. You gotta get mad. Gore climate change denial akin to racism and homophobia. It's really funny. You know, this guy is so desperate, man. He's claiming everybody who denies climate change is a homophobic and racist.
A climophobic.
Yeah. Climate change denial akin to racism and phobia and homophobia. Building on his already incredible reserve of ridiculous accusations and ad hominem attacks, environmental hypocrite Al Gore recently made some incredibly insulting comments directed toward global warming skeptics. Speaking at the Social Good Summit this week in New York, the former vice president said the Americans have to put a price on denial. It went on to suggest that conservatives who actually look at scientific evidence rather than blinding trust the word of a failed politician are no better than homophobes and racists. He said such behavior has become taboo in our society, advocating a similar shunning of those who believe in man-made climate change. Even as, this guy will deny chemtrails. Even as scientists reveal that Antarctic ice has expanded to levels not seen since the 1970s, Gore continues to cling to the one achievement for which he is still moderately recognized, fomenting
discord between
the
two
sides of an environmental debate. He applauded Barack Obama's latest initiative to halt energy production through coal-fired power plants, calling it an important step, though he suggested that even his administration's harsh pollution regulations do not go far enough.
We can win this conversation, he told the friendly crowd, and winning a conversation can make all the difference. Don't let denial go unchallenged. Gore unintentionally exposed the left's overarching goal in admitting that he is more concerned with winning on a rhetorical level than delivering an honest critique of the issues. While disparaging a growing number of climate change skeptics will curry favor among the faithful, such heeled invective... Such heated invective only further alienates rational individuals on either side of the issue. Personally attacking the opposition is a sure sign of an intellectually bankrupt argument.
Oh, and Gore has been bankrupt for years on this issue.
Even his wife left.
Yeah, even his wife left.
She couldn't take him anymore.
I love this article.
President Twink.
President Twink, yeah.
This is the Weston Center for Journalism.
Okay, we are stuck with a wimpy president. Here's my advice on dealing with it. Okay, the guy got a little video on it that I thought was good. President Twink. Well, Bill for America.
Okay, the Russian president rips his shirt off to hunt bears and ride horses. Our president rides a girl's bicycle. That's okay. The world has laughed at us before. Actually, no, they haven't, now that I think about it. Oh, well. We are stuck with President Twink for a while. We just need to make sure that he doesn't stay on after his term is up. We should probably pass a law that says that the American president has to have at least as much testosterone as Pee Wee Herman. That would solve the problem, but it wouldn't keep Hillary out. Well, anyway, real life shows that weak men are often bullies, and President Twink is no exception. He's given the U.S. Constitution the finger on many occasions and uses the IRS as his personal thugs. The IRS. the most brutal collection agency in America, has been put in charge of Obamacare. Now, does that raise any red flags? Well, here's a Wild Bill bullet of truth for America. Obamacare was never about improving our health care system. It was the biggest unconstitutional money and power grab in U.S. history, and it's going to fall on American liberty like the hammer of Thor. Now, we may laugh at the twink in the White House, but his policies are the most serious threat to American freedom since the birth of Gloria Steinem. Well, good news. Americans have the perfect tool to disarm every anti-American policy that President Twink has forced on us, and that is the fair tax. The fair tax has almost enough support in Congress to become the law of the land, and it would immediately give every working American a huge pay increase. Eliminate the IRS overnight. Eliminate filing taxes every year, and protect the poor much better than our current tax monstrosity. You want to stop President Twink and restore American prosperity overnight? Make the fair tax happen. Then we can set about rebuilding our national pride. This is Wild Bill for America. Thank you for watching, and America, bless God again.
What's his name? Wild Twink? Wild Bill?
No.
Wild Bill or something. There, Wild Bill, President Twink.
Okay, the Russian president rips.
He does ride a girl's bike. I don't know what he does. He's a twink. Anyway, Fukushima shows catastrophic potential for privatizing nuclear power. I think it should be mentioned, though. Don't you think? Fukushima is so serious. And it's not given much attention. Latest Fukushima crisis shows a catastrophic threat of nuclear power companies.
Yeah.
The possibility of a global nuclear catastrophe as a result of ongoing crisis at Fukushima is not only a real threat to untold lives in Japan and around the world, it is a model example of why nuclear power of any sort should be privatized.
Should not be privatized. And should only have limited uses within governmental programs. They shouldn't have it at all.
I think nuclear power should be banned. As reported on Monday, on BuzzFlash, that 2,000 potential nuclear radiation release from repairs at Fukushima threatened the globe. Nuclear crisis at Fukushima should spew out more than 15,000 times as much radiation as Hiroshima bombing. Harry Wasserman, a longtime anti-nuclear advocate, wrote on BuzzFlash, 2,000 posted a follow-up story today that states, "We're in very apocalyptic territory, the wide and unknown range of outcomes. It's hard to analyze the nuclear industry rationally when the private company TEPCO in Japan has just thrown up its hands and admitted it does not have a foolproof plan to prevent a
nuclear disaster
of proportions not yet seen. You can bet the Japanese government has been assuring the world that everything was under control as a whole role in inviting international assistance to keep Fukushima from creating a nuclear nightmare."
What is the private power company, TEPCO, doing in charge of repairing Fukushima anyway? How do we turn over our energy source that can threaten the survival of life on the Earth to private companies? That's a good question indeed. This is one of those true stories of how private enterprise benefits from government-funded research and then profited off of it, claiming how much private industry contributes to the public marketplace. But in this case, particularly, the creation of harnessed nuclear power through the Manhattan Project led to the transformation of an atom splitting into nuclear power plants. And governments around the world are still pouring billions into research on atomic energy. Much of these taxpayer funds end up enhancing the work done to design and construct privately owned nuclear power plants. That's not an argument for the government taking over nuclear plants as Chernobyl evidences, but it debunks the notion that private nuclear power plants would even exist without billions and billions of dollars in taxpayer funding and subsidies. In an article featured in the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists, Nuclear Denial from Hiroshima to Fukushima, Professor Charles Perrow comes to the conclusion that governments and the nuclear power industry have a strong interest in playing down the harmful effects of radiation from atomic weapons and nuclear power plants. In his commentary for Buzzflash, Harry Wasserman called for global intervention to prevent an international thermonuclear fallout. Wasserman, for years, has gone beyond that in advocating for a moratorium, even elimination of nuclear power, not to mention bombs. The genie is out of the bottle. It's time to stuff it back in. In the meantime, no private company should have a license to utilize or develop nuclear power. TEPCO has shown that, as have the designers of its aged plant. As long as, and that's GE, I think,
yeah.
As long as there is profit in nuclear power, and that comes from government subcontracts too, there is the constant threat of massive radiation spread around the globe at any time. And then the work begins on dismantling the use of nuclear weapons and any research that is not peaceful, if one can ever distinguish the one from the other.
So, guys, Fukushima is a nasty disaster.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Oh, just released, East Report translated, declare that Barack Obama is a Muslim. That's Joe's girlfriend, Angela Hart. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
She said, Angela just sent me a message, Angela Hart, an author, and says that just released, Middle East Report translated, declares that Barack Hussein Obama is a Muslim terrorist.
Video news report.
Oh. Your mouth will be hanging open at the end of this video. Copy before they pull it off the line. Sharing this. Okay. Here we go. So I'm going to play this. I don't know what it is, but I just got sent it by my friend Angela Hart. So here we go.
All right, it's the Savage Nation. We're all asking why Obama is silent on the interracial violence in America, why he's silent on the killing, the killing of Christians in Egypt. And an article came out the other day in WorldNet Daily saying Obama's brother linked to Muslim Brotherhood. Report says Malik directs radical Islamic movement's investments. And it's a report based upon reports by Walid Shobat, who says that he read an Egyptian, a speech in Arabic on Egyptian television. Joining us now is Walid Shobat, former Muslim Brotherhood member, former PLO member. Now a peace activist, he wrote a book called The Case for Islamophobia. Walid, welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is a very serious...
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Walid. In a news report on Egyptian television of a Gabali speech translated by researcher Walid Shobat, a former PLO organization operative, Gabali said she would like to inform the American people that their president's brother, Obama, is one of the architects of the major investments of the Muslim Brotherhood. Is that what she said?
Yes. This is the former chancellor of the Constitutional Court of Egypt, and she's also the current advisor to the Constitutional Court of Egypt. She's not a small cookie. Her name is Tahani El-Jabali. She stated that the reason the United States cannot fight the International Organization of the Muslim Brotherhood is because the brother of U.S. President Barack Obama is the architect of the investments for the International Organization for the Muslim Brotherhood, which brings us back to the issue we discussed on your show before, Malik Obama. She's possibly talking about Malik Obama. She didn't give the name, but she said this is a nugget for the American people, what they do not know. She wants to open the books in the courts. She's addressing the issues that Americans do not understand. She said the American government will not stop us. We need to open the files and begin court session. The Obama administration cannot stop us. They're holding ground. In fact, it's not just in a speech she gave. It's in several interviews.
She wants to open the files in Egypt to show how this government collaborated with the terrorists? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. She's saying that the government collaborated with the terrorists. You look at Benghazi, things that you've never heard in this country. It's all over, certainly it's the Middle East. In the Benghazi case, even there is a docket, number 3790, against Morsi for involvement with terrorism in Libya and Egypt. In fact, even the Libyan government states that Mohamed Morsi was involved in Benghazi. When you look at what the Americans are charging regarding Benghazi, there's only one Libyan, Khattala, a small fry. They're not addressing any of the Egyptian operatives. It was the case in Nasr City terror cell that was busted in Egypt, in which a Libyan was killed. His name, by Reuters, was linked to the case in Benghazi. But
you know, Waleed, I believe every word you say, by the way, but what you're saying tonight is more shocking than anything you've ever said before. You are saying that Obama's half-brother, Malik Obama, is what, a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, or what?
It's worse. Malik Obama, as we stated before, with clear evidence from photos, from events, from numerous articles from the Middle East, everything is disclosed. He works with the Sudanese government. He's an employee of the Sudanese government. He works right under Omar al-Bashir. Mohammed Sarwar is his main boss. He is the executive director of the Islamic Dawah Organization of Sudan. Sudan, her state. It is illegal what he is doing. He is a U.S. resident. He runs a compound of polygamy in Kogelo, Kenya. He runs a 501c3. Lewis Lerner is involved in this whole affair. The IRS is involved in this whole affair. He was granted a 501c3 illegally. He was, retroactive when it was illegal. He was lying the whole time, raising funds from the United States.
Waleed, you detailed all of these allegations in a 22-page investigative report entitled New IRS Scandal, Islamic Extremism and Sex Slaves. Report reveals Obama's relatives run charities of deceit. What is your website so people can decide for themselves?
Shoebat.com, just as you spell the word shoe, S-H-O-E, and the word bat, B-A-T, like baseball bat, S-H-O-E-B-A-T.com.
Okay, so Malik Obama and Sarah Obama raised money in the United States as the heads of foundations claiming to be charities. The IRS granted one of them tax-deductible status, retroactively going back to 2008. And then you say there are two IRS-approved 501c3 organizations operated in the U.S. by Obama's half-brother and step-grandmother in Kenya. But what does that have to do with the president? Remember, Jimmy Carter had a crazy brother. Well, you couldn't blame Jimmy Carter, as bad a president as he was, of being his brother. So should we say there's a linkage between the brothers?
Well, first we have to prove the link between Obama and the IRS. However, the IRS is linked to Malik Obama and his operation. So there's no way to refute that involvement. How did the IRS scandal begin? It has to have been all these meetings with President Obama, in which it was in closed doors, to basically begin to attack the Tea Parties and all these other things. So that whole issue is involved. Barack Hussein Obama, the president, is very close, tightly knit with the family. In fact, it's been revealed in Al Jazeera television, in which his cousin, Musa Ismail Obama, clearly said the communication is from his uncle, Saeed Obama, and the family in Kogelo in Kenya. And then you have Saeed Obama, and all this family are seen with the Wahhabists, are raising funds to the most virulent Wahhabi schools in Saudi Arabia, Umm al-Qura University. Hello, the Mama Sara Fund, his grandmother's fund, is going to recruit Wahhabi to Wahhabi schools from Africa. Well, we know what madrasa is. This is madrasa. The number one terror madrasa in the world is Umm al-Qura University. It was founded by Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, the founder and the godfather of Wahhabism. We're talking about a serious issue here. We're talking about Sudan, and his brother Malik Obama is an employee of Sudan, executive director of the Islamic Dawah Organization. You know, you have Omar al-Bashir wanted on 7 counts in the International Criminal Court. Talking about Syria.
Okay, but I hear you, and I don't deny it, but let's start from the top. Is Obama his brother's keeper? Are there legitimate links between the president and his renegade brother? Is it fair to draw conclusions about Obama from what his brother does or doesn't do?
Well, absolutely yes, because the president
okay.
is responsible for what happens in the IRS scandal. He's responsible, especially when he's always meeting with his brother in the White House. How did he get his residency? How is he getting the IRS status? How is he getting all these favors illegally? It had to have been President Obama. I mean, I can't even apply for those kind of things. You can't. How could Malik Obama? Well, it has to be the last name Obama. It has to be related to Obama. It has to be related to the president.
Waleed, look, you're a guy who's worked in such deep, deep, dangerous situations, both as a terrorist and an anti-terrorist, that you know the inner workings of these things much better than I do. I'm simply kind of almost an ingenue when it comes to these things. I can only imagine what you've had to live through, but I do watch an awful lot of television. When I watch the TV show Homeland, have you ever seen that show about a former U.S. congressman who had been brainwashed and converted to Islam secretly and becomes a congressman and he's really working for the other side? Are you implying that that's what we have here?
Well, we have to look at Obama's allegiances. We have to look at what's happening. Americans need to see what's happening. Libya has gone, you know, amok. You have Egypt with President Obama supporting the Muslim Brotherhood, going to Egypt and giving a historic speech in support even of the Muslim Brotherhood when he went there, wanting them to be part of the electorate process because it's part of democracy, you know. We see the Syrian situation in which the Free Syrian Army are carrying out massacres. We see the situation in Egypt. The entire Middle East is in chaos. It is definitely Obama's full support to the Islamist cause. So Obama is supporting the Islamist cause in the Middle East. It's very obvious. He has a brother named George Obama. Well, he doesn't even care about George Obama. In fact, even in the documentary, nobody even disclosed why he doesn't care about George Obama. The truth is, George Obama, his mother is Otieno. She's a Christian who lives in the U.S. He doesn't care about the Christian side of his family. He cares very much to the Muslim side of his family. He's very much sympathetic to the Muslims, to the Islamic cause as well. It's evident from his own family.
So what are you saying? I mean, if we look at the big picture here, you're saying something very powerful here, which is that he's linked, that his brother's linked to the Muslim Brotherhood, and that Barack Obama is supporting them with U.S. tax dollars. Therefore, you're saying he's a secret agent of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Well, he's sympathetic to the Muslim Brotherhood, and I've always argued that Obama, in my view, is the taboo that can never be discussed in America. He is very much sympathetic to his Islamic roots. Obama is very likely to be a Muslim. So, you know, this is something we are not allowed to talk about all of a sudden. The problem in American media is that, you know, you can go to Egypt and find more about what goes on than you can find in your own hometown in this country.
Yes, there's more freedom of the press in Egypt right now than in this lockdown nation of ours, where we have an absolute yellow journalistic press at work around the clock. And if anyone disagrees with them, they're castigated. I understand how hard it is because I work through this mess on a daily basis, Waleed. So having said all of this, having exposed this from... Now, remember, you're saying that you heard all of this in Arabic on Egyptian television when Gabali said that her country will not allow any conspiracy against the Egyptian state. And she said that they're trying to destroy the nation. Why would Obama want to destroy Egypt?
Well, obviously, he wants the takeover of Egypt by the Muslim Brotherhood because that's where his sympathies lie. The Muslim Brotherhood is the umbrella organization for Al-Qaeda, for Hamas, for the Islamist movement.
So it's actually worse than I fear on my worst nights in the darkest moments. It's much worse.
It is much
worse. But, Waleed, if you're saying this, and it was published the other day, and the Egyptians are saying it, how could our intelligence agencies not understand this? Or have they all been castrated by Obama? Is it that far gone that they've all been castrated?
Well, obviously. I mean, how many Americans know that one of the operatives who's suspect in Benghazi has been trained by the United States Air Force, Tariq Taha Abul Azm? I got the minutes from the articles of the police investigation in Egypt. You have a mastermind who's suspected in Benghazi, have been trained by the Air Force. Hello, this is very embarrassing to the Obama administration, embarrassing for the government. You had the same case before, Ali Muhammad. Who talks about him? Ali Muhammad was a CIA agent, a double agent, working for Al-Qaeda. He was the first one to establish the Al-Qaeda manual. He was Egyptian, the same case as this Abul Azm. He was found, caught, guilty, sentenced, but never tried, but never sentenced. Hello? What happened to that man? Ali Muhammad. The same case.
Well, Waleed, look, this is a major league expose, and I don't know, have you had much play with this in the media? Has anyone else had you on their show?
Well, you know, you're number one. You care. There's others who do care, but the major media doesn't care. However, even the case of Obama's brother, it was on CNN Arabic, but not CNN English. Can you understand that? CNN the Arabic talks about Obama's brother being linked to the Muslim Brotherhood, But CNN in English never mentions a word about it. So the media is controlled by the liberals, by the institution. They make us pay attention to what is happening in Syria so we can forget about what's happening in Egypt and in Benghazi. If Obama really cares about slaughter in Syria, why doesn't he care about the genocide in Sudan? There is a much bigger genocide in Sudan.
Well, that's another topic, and I'd like to, when we come back from the break, Wally, ask you your opinion on the alleged gas attack in Syria, whether it actually occurred, whether it's staged, and who actually may have released the gas, because I have no way to believe either side there. They're both so terrible. I'll be right back. We're speaking with Wally Shobat, former PLO member, former Muslim Brotherhood member, now a peace activist. His book is The Case for Islamophobia. His website is Shobat.com. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation.
Swinging into the last phase, the last segment of the hour here on the Savage Nation.
Really,
we're dealing with a very serious allegation.
I really appreciate this. We played about 13 minutes of this. And
how much longer is it?
Another 5 minutes or so. But you know, it's critically important to understand that Barack Obama has terrorist connections. He supports. But we're sitting here on a time bomb. You know, Barack Obama is a time bomb. Here's an article I wanted to read. A UK paper says, UK paper, no longer, US is no longer a superpower thanks to Obama. It's a scathing indictment to the Obama regime. A recent Daily Telegraph column offers an international perspective of America's current predicament. According to Con Cullen, a global security expert and defense editor at the United Kingdom-based Pepper, the superpower status long enjoyed by the U.S. is quickly deteriorating. Most of that blame, he notes, lies with Barack Obama. Calling the devolution into a federal government shutdown humiliating, Congress wrote that this represents his just the latest in a series of missteps by the 44th president. Well, Coughlin also chided Obama for his deeply flawed health care reform law, which initiated the congressional statement stalemate that ultimately resulted in the shutdown. Aligning with House representatives who tried feverishly to enact a resolution that would defund or postpone the implementation, the writer said that the Obamacare is mired in unknown consequences and risks adding to the American debt mountain. Finally, Coughlin pointed out that the desperate reactions between Obama and Vladimir Putin regarding upheaval in Syria as a sign of the former inability to prove decisive leadership. The international community views the Russian leader's response to that conflict as more direct and decisive, with Coughlin suggests has further damaged the U.S. brand worldwide. He summarizes his position as a comment likely to resonate with millions of this country, concluding that the longer the Obama presidency continues, the more American status as a superpower ebbs away. There are countless other instances throughout the past 5 years that show Obama is neither chronically inept or systematically trying to ruin America. Many feel his consistent missteps have been caused by a combination of both. Regardless of intentions, however, the fact remains that both within the U.S. and abroad, Obama is seen as ushering in the downfall of this great nation. Oh, man. I feel that.
Kind of a gloomy article.
No, I feel that so strongly because I've read so much and I feel so much on that. That Obama is a horrible, horrible, horrible leader. One guy says, the government has been shut down. Here's my plan. May I suggest the first 535 layoffs? I'd like it if you agree, Congress, to be laid off. This is something that's interesting. I'm going to play a little tune and let us get a little break here.
Okay.
And then I'd like to go into this a little bit, which I think is really true. Is that the Democratic National Committee is hemorrhaging in Reading.
In addition,
he has issued countless fundraising calls whereas OFA slush fund draining the source resources of those who might otherwise support the DMC.
After 5 years of disastrous policies resulting in seemingly insurmountable mountain of U.S. debt, it seems Democrats themselves are finally starting to experience the effects of Obama's financial irresponsibility.
Interesting. So,
well, who knows about that, though?
Well, this is the Western Journal for Journalism. They come up with some pretty good stuff over the last couple months. This is really interesting. This woman has come out a couple of times with these accusations. And a black professor, and she said, the shutdown is due to Obama's skin color.
Huh?
Yeah. And, of course, this website offers free toilet paper coupons. I don't know why. The WND education. The government shutdown is partly due to President Obama's race. University professor, UPenn associate professor Anthea Butler suggests in an angry Twitter tirade on Monday night. The last government shutdown took place under the fake black President Clinton, but now they have a real black president to mess with, tweeted Butler. Perhaps if the Republicans would quit trying to regulate vaginas, they could practice governance. You have to be blind to think race does not play into this stupidity, she continued, responding to a separate tweet that inferred the partisan climate was due to both Clinton and Obama being Democrats. And Butler began the rant with a modified tweet at around 9:22 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, writing that if the Republicans would quit trying to regulate vaginas, they would practice governance. Oh, yeah, they hate that, she added. And this is ridiculous. Oh, yeah, she hated that. She had just some comments on the shutdown program story. But, you know, this is a professor from, where did I say it was?
Pennsylvania?
Yeah, we read about her before.
Doesn't seem to make too much sense.
No, she's been calling everything.
And that's the university professor. God help her.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what her class was like.
No, I can't even imagine. But no, what is the university professor shut down? I don't know where she's from, but she's in that case.
Mm.
But I had to read that. Now this is the guy who's totally opposed to Obamacare.
Uh-huh.
And Ted Cruz. Now, he says, if Obamacare doesn't apply to everyone, then it shouldn't apply to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's his rationale. You know, and I think he might be right there. I don't know.
What happens to, like, government workers? Would they have excellent health care? Would they be penalized? Would their plans be considered Cadillac plans?
Yeah, sure they would. Now here, Hawaii now swears that there's no Obama birth certificate. There is none. Okay, I thought that was interesting. I got all kinds of people swearing at me over this one on Facebook, but former Hawaii elections clerk Tim Adams has now signed an affidavit swearing he was told by his supervisors in Hawaii that no long form hospital-generated birth certificate existed for Barack Obama Jr. in Hawaii, and that neither Queens Medical Center nor Kapalolea Medical Center in Honolulu had any record of Obama having been born in their medical facilities. What do you think of that?
About that?
Adams was employed at the City and County of Honolulu Elections Division from May 2008 through September 2008. Want to go on?
Sure.
Yeah, his position.
His position was senior elections clerk, overseeing a group of 50 to 60 employees responsible for verifying the identity of voters at the absentee ballot office. It was in this capacity that Adams became aware of the search for Obama's birth certificate records. During the course of my employment, Adams swears in the affidavit viewable in full as Part 1 and Part 2, I became aware that many requests were being made to the City and County of Honolulu Elections Division, the Hawaii Office of Elections, and the Hawaii Department of Health from around the country to obtain a copy of then-Senator Barack Obama's long-form hospital-generated birth certificate. As he inquired about the birth certificate, he says his superiors told him that the records were not on file at the Hawaii Department of Health. Senior officers in the City and County of Honolulu Elections Division told me on multiple occasions that no Hawaii long-form hospital-generated birth certificate existed for Senator Obama in the Hawaii Department of Health, Adams' affidavit reveals, and there was no such record that any such document had ever been on file in the Hawaii Department of Health or any other branch or department of the Hawaiian government.
So Barack Obama is an illegal alien. He doesn't exist.
Is there a short birth certificate? It must be. They're talking about a long form. I don't know exactly what that means.
I don't know either. You know, amazing. But it's quite frightening. Let's see. House of Turds. New York Daily News wins the day with their headlines this morning. Can you imagine that?
It has Bader on the front. And
yeah, House
shows
of
a
Turds.
House of Turds. I have to agree with that one.
D.C. cesspools shut down government. They get paid while nation suffers. House of Turds.
Yeah, that's
Daily
for sure.
News. You gotta add it to them. At least they're consistent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're always consistent with their crap. They're not great for journalism, but they're great for sensationalism. I thought this was interesting. You know, Republicans tried to give a $29 billion tax break to corporations.
Tax donors. Tax dodgers.
Right. To corporations while shutting down the government. Imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was their whole
thing. As part of the financial shutdown, Republicans tried to give a $29 billion tax break to some of the biggest corporate tax dodgers. And they will likely try again as soon as they can.
It's frightening. It's really frightening, you know, to see what happened there. Parents livid about propaganda video encouraging students to pledge support to Obama. That's right. Isn't that amazing? Little 1940s Germany. Parents livid after... They see this video. Let me just play this one.
Play a little bit of this feeling stuff.
The next story causing a lot of buzz in Hudson. It's a school video promoting volunteerism, and believe it or not, it's being called propaganda. Fox 9's Tom Lydon explains.
You may have seen this video before. It's called I Pledge. It was developed by Oprah Winfrey's production company, Harpo, back in 2009 after President Obama was elected. But at one point in the four-minute video, for about 20 seconds, it sort of takes a turn, some would say to the left. And for the Hudson School District and a lot of parents, it feels like it runs right off the tracks.
The video was shown during a school-wide assembly at Hudson Middle School. Part of the activities were something called Peace One Day.
I pledge to smile more.
And for the most part, it's hard to argue with the message.
I pledge.
Hollywood stars like Ashton Kutcher pledging to do good deeds in their community.
I know you got a pledge. What's your pledge?
What do you think so far?
I pledge to be. I like it. I do too.
And then you get to this.
I pledge to be of service to Barack Obama.
And this.
I pledge
to be a servant to our president.
I don't think I like that.
Looks a little bit 1940s Germany.
It does look like propaganda to you.
Yes, absolutely.
Because I think that's the criticism.
I think you have to support our president, but I don't know that it necessarily needs to be put in words like that.
In other words, we pledge to our country, to our flag, but we don't pledge our allegiance to the man, the president. It's like he's not a king.
Right.
He's a president.
Right.
He serves us.
I mean, we should support him, but the way it's worded in there, I just don't, that doesn't seem right.
The school superintendent wouldn't talk on camera, but issued a long apology, calling the video a mistake, saying it had a political slant and will not be used in the district again. The principal, Dan Koch, apologized directly to the students, saying, "The video conveyed a message that people serve the presidency, when in fact our elected officials serve the people."
Are we throwing the baby out with the bathwater here?
I guess for a lot of people, I think it depends on what side of the fence you are on.
The public service video certainly borrows images from Obama's campaign. Looks a bit like a campaign ad. And Hudson, Wisconsin is conservative. Clinton was the last president to win St. Croix County 17 years ago. Still, other presidents have touched similar themes. Ronald Reagan's City on a Hill. George Bush's 1,000 Points of Light. But most folks we talked to said it didn't matter, especially with an audience years away from voting.
I don't know that they know enough about government yet. They haven't had those classes in school.
The shoe was on the other foot, and it was George W. Bush talking about volunteerism. You still wouldn't like it.
Not when it comes to saying it like it did.
One Peace Day is recognized in nearly 200 countries. The superintendent wouldn't tell me whose idea it was to show this video. They're not throwing anyone under the bus on this one. But she says the complaints about the video came from parents who were attending that school assembly 2 days ago. Tom Lydon, Fox 9 News.
Yes, serving the president. You know, God, people. Yeah. And what is he trying to do? A few reasons we are in a shutdown. You got a guy holding a gun at another guy and says, "Buy insurance you don't need, pay for Social Security you'll never see, and eat this $14 trillion debt." That's pretty much true. Obama mocks Americans on Obamacare. "You can't shut it down," he says. I'm going to play this little video because he's such an arrogant asshole. You know what I mean? He's just such an arrogant schmuck. This is Obama.
Good afternoon, everybody.
This is today.
Of all the responsibilities the Constitution endows to Congress, two should be fairly simple. Pass a budget and pay America's bills. But if the United States Congress does not fulfill its responsibility to pass a budget today, much of the United States government will be forced to shut down tomorrow. And I want to be very clear about what that shutdown would mean, what will remain open and what will not. With regard to operations that will continue, if you're on Social Security, you will keep receiving your checks. If you're on Medicare, your doctor will still see you. Everyone's mail will still be delivered, and government operations related to national security or public safety will go on. Our troops will continue to serve with skill, honor, and courage. Air traffic controllers, prison guards, those who are with border patrol will remain on their posts, but their paychecks will be delayed until the government reopens. NASA will shut down almost entirely, but Mission Control will remain open to support the astronauts serving on the space station. I also want to be very clear about what would change. Office buildings would close, paychecks will be delayed. Vital services that seniors and veterans, women and children, businesses, and our economy depend on would be hamstrung. Business owners would see delays in raising capital, seeking infrastructure permits, or rebuilding after Hurricane Sandy. Veterans who've sacrificed for their country will find their support centers unstaffed. Tourists will find every one of America's national parks and monuments, from Yosemite to the Smithsonian to the Statue of Liberty, immediately closed. And, of course, the communities and small businesses that rely on these national treasures for their livelihoods will be out of customers and out of luck. And in keeping with the broad ramifications of a shutdown, I think it's important that everybody understand the federal government is America's largest employer. More than 2 million civilian workers and 1.4 million active duty military serve in all 50 states and all around the world. In the event of a government shutdown, hundreds of thousands of these dedicated public servants who stay on the job will do so without pay. And several hundred thousand more will be immediately and indefinitely furloughed without pay. what, of course, will not be furloughed are the bills that they have to pay, their mortgages, their tuition payments, their car notes. These Americans are our neighbors. There is healing.
It goes on and on and on. You guys are bullshit, you know. But here's the last one I want to read. We only got a couple of minutes. It says, the Obamacare, day one of Obamacare, the website doesn't even work.
Well, that's true. The federal one.
Yeah.
Too many people on it.
Yeah,
clogged up.
Last night openly mocked Americans when he bragged, you can't shut it down. When talking about Obamacare, he openly stated that he will not negotiate. He doesn't want to be president. He wants to be dictator. He seems upset that grassroots activists won't just let him do it. In an interview with NPR, he even said, I shouldn't have to offer anything. This is, of course, ridiculous. The only reason his approval rating is 39% and not even lower is because of a media bias. Now, however, on the first day of the shutdown in Obamacare, we're seeing that first total failure of Obamacare. The websites aren't even working. That's right. The insurance exchange websites have completely failed. I've attached some images to this page. Oh, my God. That's really sad. What do you think?
Well, it is because it's a mess.
It's a mess. It's a total mess.
I don't really know how long people have a year to get
out. Yeah, a year. It says the system is down at the moment. His pictures of these. The system is down at the moment. So, already Obamacare has crashed. Good Lord. But anyway, we're unbelievable. But I want to thank everybody who joined us. Obama, thank you for tonight. It's crazy, crazy, crazy world. But anyway.
It sure is.
It sure is. So thank everybody. And join us tomorrow night when we talk a little more on the news and issues. And
news and views. And we hope our phone works better. I don't know.
I'm hoping so. We'll have to get a new one.